Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
I want to talk to you today about the blessing from the blessor and about Christmas. I don't know if you got the memo or not, but it is December and people are expecting you to buy stuff for them, nice stuff. You're expecting other people to buy stuff for you, nice stuff. Come on, look at your neighbor. So I'm expecting. However, I got some bad news. Here's the bad news. It's not your birthday. And it's Jesus' birthday, and I'm not here to be discouraged. I'm just here to tell you, it's not about the stuff under the tree, but it's about the guy who hung on the tree, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't your birthday. Now, if it's your birthday, I'd get you something, but it ain't your birthday. Now, I believe in helping little kids. I believe little kids need to have stuff. In fact, I loved sitting on Santa Claus' lap as a kid. Anybody remember that? My dad take me to Santa Claus, and I'd look at all the little people that had money, you know, and they'd wait to see Santa Claus, and they'd be like, I want a train, and I want a baseball, and I want, and me, I had to come up because I was representing the whole family. We need some rent money. My uncle needs a carburetor on his Festiva. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about in here? It wasn't about me. It was about all the junk we had to have. And we can't drive in the rain because the windshield wiper motor is broken. But that was fun. I believe kids ought to have a good time. In fact, I got a picture here. This is just yesterday. This is a playground in Haiti that just got installed yesterday. Come on, give it up for giving kids stuff. So our church is always doing stuff that was just sent yesterday. Hey, look, here's a playground. It costs about $25,000 to do that. And that's not even half the playground. We just built the biggest playground that Haiti ever had. The missionaries that build those, they said Faith Church built the biggest playground because that's just that Haiti's ever seen. So give it up for Faith Church and helping kids. I believe in helping kids. However, debt, the acronym, is doing everything but thinking. Here in America, we have a system to think that really what we do is as soon as Halloween is almost over, we put out the Christmas tree, and really it's about retail and getting us back in a cycle of debt. And then now we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And then we get in a spin, in a cycle of being in debt. And so today we're just going to talk about the real meaning of Christmas and then the fact that Jesus has blessed us. We're going to get into some of that and how we can claim that blessing. But again, back with debt for a minute. When I took the church 10 years ago, Omar was one of the only staff members on the bandwagon then, a little less than 200 people. The church was in debt. The roof needed repair. They were still using overhead projectors. There was no lighting. The bathrooms, it was a mess, and the church was in debt. At that time, I remember studying on debt and getting out of debt, and I recall that the national debt was $8 trillion. How many know that's a lot of money? $8 trillion. That's how much America owes foreign countries. $8 trillion, okay? Now, I was in New York this last week, and I was at a meeting, and I was heading to church in New York, and I walked past the financial district, and there's a big sign in New York, and it's an illuminated digital sign. And I just happened to look up, and when last time I looked at it, $8 trillion, it was this big. Now they added to the signage and put a second piece of the sign because now you can't have that many numbers on there. So now it's at $14 trillion. I mean, no, $14 trillion is worse than $8 trillion. How many like me, and you don't even know how much $14 trillion is, but you do know America has a problem. The same system that governs America is debt, and it's the same system that tries to get up on the Americans, and now we're in debt, discontented, and then we continue that cycle where we try to work January, February, March, and April. That's for the government. Everybody in here has an uncle, Uncle Sam. So the first 4 months, we can't pay anything off because that's the tax stuff. Then we look forward to perhaps getting a check from the government if they've got it. It comes really slow now because they owe $14 trillion, and then now we try to get a little help out of debt, but then it's October again, and the system set up to get us thinking that it's about the stuff under the tree. Now, again, I want you to have stuff under your tree, but I don't want you to be so messed up you almost want to hang yourself on a tree, because Christmas is just stressmas. When Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. So, let's talk about Jesus and the blessing. Whenever we talk about Jesus, oftentimes preachers read from Luke chapter 2, great place. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 2 today, Matthew's account. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he, the king who is born of the Jews? This star in the east we have come to worship. Everybody shout, worship. When they heard that the king had departed, the star was seen in the east before them. They came and they stood over the young child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold. Everybody shout, gold.
Gold.
Read the rest for me. They brought that stuff to Jesus. Now, tradition says that three wise men is going to be in your nativity scene. The Bible doesn't say that. There were loads of wise men, and many of them traveled over 1,000 miles. So in the nativity scene that you will see tonight, you're going to see three wise men. He's going to have a rinky-dink, little bitty gold, little piece of something, and he's going to kind of bring a sample of gold to Jesus. Well, in the Bible, that's not what happened. Guys, kings who traveled 1,000 miles to see Jesus didn't come with one camel and one little rinky-dink piece of gold. These guys were trying to outdo each other. You got kings of Saudi Arabia and kings of different parts of the Middle East, and they're traveling 1,000 miles, and they got loads of camels. They're not coming up in a pair of sandals with a little rinky-dink box of frankincense and gold. They brought Jesus so much gold, so much frankincense, so much more, that he never had to ask for money in his entire ministry. And he said to the 5,000 men, they said, hey, Jesus, they're getting hungry. We need to go feed them. Jesus said, go buy them something to eat. How could you buy 5,000 men something to eat unless you have some money? And the Bible did not, in those days when they were writing the Bible, they did not acknowledge women. So if there were 5,000 men, there were 5,000 women at the meeting. If there were 5,000 men and 5,000 women and no cable TV, there were 27,000 kids. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling the truth right now. I said, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And when they asked Jesus, how do we feed them? He said, logically, go buy them some food. They looked at him and said, there's no Costco. There's no Sam's. You see all these people? Then God, of course, does the multiplication of the miracle. Because if money won't do it, a miracle will do it, and Jesus can do either. However, I'm here to prove thy case today that Jesus had the money to do it. He was so blessed that Judas was stealing out of the bag, and he didn't even pay it any, never mind, because on the initial entrance into earth, the forces of the Gentiles were brought to Jesus, and he had everything he needed to fulfill his ministry and not worry about money. That anointing that came from God, for God so loved the world that he
gave.
Come on, shout it, class. What?
Gave.
For God so loved the world that he gave. God's a giver. You can either go through Christmas and life with a Judas spirit or a Jesus spirit. You can either have the taking spirit or the giving spirit. But I'm here to tell you that the blessing that was on Jesus that came from the blessor now rests upon you. But if we try to bless ourselves, Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these blessings, housing, cha-ching, cha-ching, will be added unto you. In America, we try to add it to ourselves instead of saying, if God doesn't get it to me, then I don't want it. I'm not going to continue to spin in this cycle of debt and swim in this ocean, drowning in a sea of debt, feeling the pressure when I'm not God. You're not God. Not only is it not your birthday, you're not God. You can't provide for everybody. You've got to know, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. You won't lack when you switch systems. But if we stay with the system, we will be using MasterCard to pay the Visa because we added the ings to ourselves instead of trusting God and realizing that Christmas can be the most wonderful time of the year when you realize that you don't have to provide for everybody. Yes, provide for the kids. We do it for thousands of little kids, even kids that their parents are in prison. As the church, it's our job to help, and we do. But you and I have to break this cycle in our family that they have a wrong relationship of tradition. Traditionally, we go into deep debt. You won't have long-term happiness, and you will not build wealth within your family if we continue to realize, not realize, that we can't bless ourselves. Shout, I can't bless me. Getting quiet in here. Shout it like you had breakfast. Can't bless you. Now again, if you got money, go buy it. But if you don't, enjoy your life. And leave place for God to do a miracle. Isaiah, it's incredible, this passage of scripture. This is the foretelling of Jesus, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Remember the star in the east. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Glory, everybody shout glory. Glory doesn't mean just, woo, yeah, glory. Glory in the law, theologically, in the law first mentioned, glory is first mentioned in Genesis, and it means M-O-N-E-Y. The glory, you could totally have legal license to put it right there. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness, debt, trouble, racism, wrongdoing will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but, everybody shout, but, the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. The kings came from the east at the brightness of this star. And verse 5 said, then you will and shall become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance, not lack, the abundance shall be turned unto you. Here's a key part. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. I want you to shout that with me. The wealth of the Gentiles. One more time, loud and strong.
The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you.
And the multitude of camels shall cover the land. Multitudes of camels carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh came to Jesus to provide for his earthly ministry. Jesus is not broke, was not broke. Tradition says that there were three wise men. The Bible says that multitudes of camels came bringing blessing to bless the blessor, and he had too much. He is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Somebody ought to shout amen in here. He is the more than enough. He thinks big. He thinks surplus. There's too many monkeys or too many bananas in the jungle to feed the monkeys. Too much water in the sea. There's too much gold in the earth. There's too much gas and oil in the earth. When they say there is a shortage, they are lying because they want to drive up the prices. As you know right now, gas is down. Did we find a bunch of new gas? Or did they just decide, somebody ought to say amen. Did they just decide that all of a sudden now they're not going to charge us $19 a gallon? And they were charging us $19 a gallon when we were driving excursions, and then they went and sold us a really little car, and then now that you can fill it up for $2.99, and we got rid of our excursion, somebody ought to understand that the world system is set up to lie to you, and the government is set up to lie to you, and it's just the way it is. They ain't got no money, and they owe $14 trillion, but what they got is a printer. But you and I go print money, they say, no way, Jose. There's a double standard. Come on, somebody ought to help me today. I'm saying, why can you print money and we can't be printing money? Printers have never been so good. I believe we can print money now. Come on, raise your hand. You know a printer at work. You print stuff and you don't tell me you hadn't thought, that looks real right there. But the system is set up by the world. But the Bible just said that the wealth of the Gentiles, that word Gentile there means a non-Jewish, non-covenant man, the same thing that David said to Goliath. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine. What he was saying was, you without a covenant from Jehovah. Today, I will feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. And he released that stone that was in his hand and it killed Goliath because the anointing or the empowerment to prosper was on this little red-headed, ruddy boy who wasn't even big enough to put the armor of the previous people who were trying to kill David. But that's why it's not based on how big you are, how smart you are. It's based on how blessed you are. And you are blessed of God. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm talking about the best Christmas ever, because when God blesses you, you bless, and ain't nobody gonna be able to jack with that. Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say it with attitude. Shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now, you're sitting right now in a building that costs $21 million. $21 million. When I saw this building, it was owned by some heathens. And they had put the finest motion-activated hand washing. Remember the first time you ever went in the bathroom at one of those places that had hand motion-activated? And you're like, where are the knobs at? And it has the finest soap dispensers that are motion-activated. And everything, including the hand dryers, motion activated. And the hall was decked in the finest granite. And the back curvature of the wall was done by the people who do the banks. And over $250,000 was just spent making that look good. It was $150,000 just for the desk out there in the hallway. And when I walked into this building and I saw brand new air conditioners, and I saw brand new everything, and I didn't have any money, but I knew that I was blessed. I might have to come down here and get on you. Right. I'm not telling you something I'm not living in. You're sitting in a $21 million building that belonged to a bunch of heathens, and they were saying, we don't know what we're gonna do. We gotta sell it to somebody. But they had to sell it to a little boy named David, who didn't have the political strength, did not have the Assemblies of God, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Charismaniacs. I didn't have anybody backing me. All I had was Isaiah 60 that said, the forces of the, come on somebody, the force, somebody ought to help me, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. I walked through this building and I had to ask some questions because in my mind, I thought it's big. And I asked the man, who is the president of Commerce Bank, who put a padlock on the door and said, you got to leave here. You don't own this building anymore. I asked him, I said, I would be interested in purchasing this building. But how much? Because your mind says, you can't afford this. You're not going to make it. How would you ever? You just started a church. We're bringing in $2,100 a week over here at this beer hall. How in the world are you going to pay for this? So just out of fear, I asked him, how much is the electric bill on something like this? And he said, oh, it's north of $20,000 a month. And you remember Fred Sanford? Just a big one. North. How far north are we talking? But then I had to remember for a minute, no. The blessing of Jesus is upon us in this church, and it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. So we took a step, and I remember going to Clayton, Missouri, and I took my fancy pen, and I signed my name. And we bought this building, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just, $21 million. And the bank said, we'll sell it to you for what we got in it, $6.5 million. That's a whole lot of money. Do you realize how many millions of dollars somebody would have had to give us to legitimately pay for that? But the whole time when the heathens were saying, What kind of sinks you think we ought to put in there? The Holy Ghost is going, telling Heathen, put the best in there. My people are coming in there. Well, what kind of roof you think we ought to put on it? Like a 5-year roof or a 10-year roof? Jesus is going, hey, why don't you put a 30-year roof on that building? Because it's big and I don't want to have the church have to pay for that. You can, you know what I'm saying? I'm not preaching, so I'm not trying to get you to smoke something. I ain't rolling here. This is, we're living in this church. You're sitting in a church right now that God provided and used the devil's money to do it. And this is going to happen to you. But if you keep trying to add to yourself, you're going to live a miserable life because your kids still ain't going to be happy. No matter what happens, you buy me iPhone 2, you buy me iPhone 3, and then iPhone comes around, got the iPhone 6. They're coming out with the iPhone 10. Come on, somebody ought to help me there. We're buying stuff we don't need with money we don't have, and we're weighted down with debt and discontented, and we've lost the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is not about the stuff under the tree. It's about the stuff that hung on the tree, and these candles are here to tell you today, it's not your birthday. It's the big guy's birthday. Come on, give God praise today. Mm-hmm. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, uh-huh. And kids, don't get scared. You still gonna get Christmas. But if you're 50, you don't need to be, well, it's Christmas, and I need to buy myself a new boat. Kind of losing you again. I'll leave that alone. Don't be messing with my boat now. I gotta buy my boat. Now, verse 15, whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellent, a joy of generations, and you shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk, the breast of kings. And you shall know that I am the Lord and I am the Savior and I am your Redeemer. Now watch this. The Gentiles are going to make the resources, and Jesus, our elder brother, is Jewish. That means you ain't paying retail for nothing. Jesus, our older brother, died on the cross and became poor. That means you would have to be rich to become poor. He was in heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl, everything's fine. And God says, the world is in trouble, and God loved you so much. Not a Jesus anointing, not a Judas anointing, a Jesus anointing. He sent Jesus. Jesus comes down. He became poor that we might be enriched in all things. Abraham was extremely rich in livestock, cattle, gold, silver. Now, tradition would say, God doesn't want to bless you with stuff. God just wants to bless you with peace and tranquility. And he does want to bless you with peace and tranquility. But I'm here to tell you right now, you can't have peace and tranquility if they're coming to repo your car and you got to hide your car at your cousin's house. Somebody ought to help me right now. You can't have peace and tranquility when your crazy little kids are crying all the time because they want this and they want that. There is no peace and tranquility without M-O-N-E-Y. Now, people say in the church world, money is the root of all evil. No, you read it. You need to read the Bible for yourself. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. That means you can love money and not even have money. So Jesus had a right relationship with money. Judas had a wrong relationship with money. Jesus saw money as a means to help people. Our church, multiple churches today are having churches around the world based on us. Kids are playing on playgrounds in Haiti and eating food based on us. God has blessed us not so we can accrue more wealth to build bigger barns, to have bigger houses. Now, he is not against you having that, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of the wealthiest people in St. Louis go to our church. The people who own the biggest house, the most expensive house in the state of Missouri has been built by a guy who goes to church here who's a tither. I don't preach against having stuff. I preach against stuff having you. But if you have the Jesus anointing and you have the right relationship with money, you can have your cake take and eat it too. But if you have the Judas anointing and you're always on the take, and my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me, and you're always taking and you're always faking and you're always fronting, then you won't really enjoy your life to the full. The Bible said that the forces of the Gentiles will come to you and you will suck the milk of the Gentiles. What's that mean? $21 million, $6.5 million. That was a lot of free milk, y'all. Come on, after a deal like that, you kind of need to be burped. What do we use the building? I didn't want to buy the building to make a car museum out of it. I wanted to build a building that would be a Holy Ghost hospital to help the hurting, that we would be here right now as a diverse church that does not see color, to see that the enemy is trying to separate and segregate our city, and this church is here to say, there is no male, there is no female, there is no black, there is no white. Jesus is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Can I get an amen? That's why this church was here. And then God knew he wanted the church to be fancy because he knew that you were classy. And he didn't want you touching knobs that some people didn't wash their hands touch. Come on, somebody ought to say amen up in here. God doesn't want the church broke. He's just a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothing, lying in a manger. Yes, that's true. But it wasn't long. As soon as he landed on earth, here comes the camels, here comes the gold. He'll come. And if you read Luke and you read Matthew, you find out that the Lord came to them, God came to them in a dream and said, don't go home the same way you came. You came in broke, but you're leaving blessed. In fact, you got so much good stuff now, you best not drive back through that neighborhood you came through a while ago, because I now have given you the forces of the Gentiles and you limped in, but you're leaping out. And the whole crux of the message is, yes, that's great. That happened to Jesus. But now Jesus dies, goes down to hell, defeats the devil, comes back up and says, hey, greater works will you do, whatever your name is, greater works will you do than I did. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye is the most expensive words in the Bible. Go ye and buy a $21 million building. Then he told me to go down there to Sunset Hills. I just preached there, and I'm heading there again in a minute. I'm 26 minutes into a 30-minute message. If you would listen faster, we could get more in you. I'm getting ready to go to Sunset Hills, and that's a $37 million campus. Okay, and then they're having church right now as we speak in Weldon Springs, and that's a multiple. I never dreamed that God would do this. He's not doing this based on me. He is doing this based on he wants somebody, anybody who will believe him. Are you a believer? I know you are. Whoever heard of an unbelieving believer? You need to believe that this is the year for your turnaround. You need to believe that this year is bigger than you getting an iPhone 6. You need to believe that this year is bigger than you getting a pair of Jordans with the matches. I'm talking to somebody right now. It's bigger than this. People are looking for fruit, and you need to be looking for the root, and the root comes from the root of Jesse. That's what I'm preaching right. The root is Jesus, and Jesus is the reason for the season. And by the way, it is not happy holidays. It is Merry Christmas. I love Jesus. Somebody ought to help me in here today. I'm talking to somebody. I know this isn't your regular Christmas message, but this is what Jesus wants you to realize, that 2015 is your year for a breakthrough. That 2015, you'll never be broke another day in your life. Jesus isn't a baby anymore. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Revelation said he's coming back on a white horse with a sword coming out of his mouth. Woo. Woo. We're almost done. I apologize for getting so excited. Sometimes I feel the anointing of the Pointer Sisters come on me. I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. And Jesus is doing something big in you. Jesus left us Isaiah 60 to say, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Yes, you lost the job, but if you hadn't lost the job, you wouldn't have sought God to get the blessing. Yes, you lost the man, but he really wasn't a man. He was a boy fronting to be a man. So you need to kick that man to the curb and be looking for that man who says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Huh? Come on, somebody ought to help me today. You were looking for joy, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. Okay, that's cool, and I like that. But it can only be the most wonderful time of the year if we get Christmas right and we realize that Christmas is about Jesus and not about the stuff. And as soon as you do that, God will slingshot that thing around on you and he will bless you and you'll realize, I got my cake and eat it too. Because ideally, you want your cake while you still got teeth to chew it. So God wants to bless you coming in and bless you going out. And he said, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so you can sit on Santa Claus's lap, and that's good. There are phases in life. There are phases when you believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus, and then you are Santa Claus. There, and then you look like Santa Claus, okay? There are phases. But he knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for you. We're not talking about Santa. We're talking about Jesus who gave his life for us and came down for us to enjoy Christmas in the best way. Every head bowed and every eye closed and everybody watching on television. God, I pray right now for my friends that we get a grip on the relationship of Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for our light has come. That the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. God, I speak to stress, anxiety of Christmas to go away. And God, us to get the real meaning of Christmas, and that it's about you. And that we generationally will teach our children and our children's children the gift of generosity, to helping children in Haiti and helping Watu choirs and building churches in India. And God, all the things we're doing, giving away 4,800 blankets just this week alone in St. Louis. God, and everything we're doing in our church in Palm Beach to help the community. God, it's not about us, it's about them. And most of all, it's about you providing for us so we can go into the world and help them with generosity and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for his word today. Woo!
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
People connect, families grow, lives change. People connect.